Welcome, everybody. A bit of a technical mishap there. all part of the fun, so we'll leave that in. But welcome to episode 39 of Playing With Perspective, the suspended animation podcast. And it's going to be a very, very interesting show because I'm sitting in front of a very dynamic and interesting guest by the name of Justin Cooper.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing? I'm very colourful today as well. I'm wearing purple.
You are. I love the purple jacket. Matches the branding. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So very, very excited. So Justin is an expert in branding and in particular, finding your why when it comes to branding, which is a little bit of a different take on branding. So we're going to be chatting about finding your why to be able to connect with like-minded prospects. So this is going to be very, very interesting. And before I hand over to Justin, I thought I'll just give him a little intro. So who is Justin Cooper? Justin describes himself as a purpose activator. He believes that when you explain the true purpose of your business or brand, you make a deeper connection with your audience. This attracts customers and employees who get you, value you, and are far more loyal to you. Justin started his career in marketing 30 years ago and is the author of Marketing is Dead, Long Live Purposing, a book which describes a radical approach to defining the why of a business and connecting it to brand uniqueness and authentic communications. And I love how he's showing us the book in the background there. Justin runs Brand Purpose Co., a consulting company offering strategic brand advice and purpose coaching to forward-thinking businesses. So without further ado, welcome, Justin. How are you doing?
Roll. Yeah, good. Great, thanks.
All well this morning?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Excellent. Tell us a bit about you.
Well, you've done the intro. So background in marketing, started my career in FMCG, which for the uninitiated stands for fast moving consumer goods, which is your classic supermarket products that are well advertised, quite often quite boring, but you have to make them exciting. Yep. So that was my intro, storytelling, all about building an image for a brand. And so I did that for 25 years, then hit a bit of a brick wall and realized that what we were doing, we were going about it the wrong way. You know, it's not about creating an image so much as discovering what we're about, what we stand for, and then transforming that into a story about how you help people. Gotcha. And that applies to whether you run a business to business or a business to consumer brand. Today, people are looking for authenticity. So that was where I started getting purple. Yep. And realizing, because purple stands for purpose, and realizing that purpose really needs to be at the center of your brand and the center of your business. Gotcha. And more and more people are opening up to that. Even Larry Fink, you know, the head of arguably the world's biggest shadow bank, BlackRock. Yeah. He's come out and said a couple of years ago that unless your business has a clear purpose, you're communicating it, you put it through your business and you connect it with your people, you're going to fail. And if Larry says it, it's a thing.
Ah, fantastic. And tell us a bit more about purple. I mean, I remember I read the book, the famous book, was it by Seth Godin, The Purple Cow?
Yep.
Is that, did he get that purple from the same philosophy of purple is purpose, or was it something totally different?
No, well, his was random. So he was apparently driving through some country area where it was like cow upon cow upon cow. Right. Being from the city, initially it was quite interesting. And I think as a kid, he went, you know what? The only thing that would really get interesting right now is if I saw a purple cow. Right. So for him, it was all about uniqueness. Gotcha. For me, purple is, you know, being kind of a spiritual guy as well as a branding guy. Yep. Purple is like the third eye, which is all about intuition. Okay. And so when you're intuitive and you can understand the deeper reason why, that's really coming from that area of your body, which is the third eye up here. Yep. Those people that are clairvoyant, they can see that as purple. Right. So, you know, that there's this kind of a spiritual connection, but I think on a kind of a level point of view, you know, it's fun. You know, purple is a color that attracts. It makes a statement. I've even got a purple hat here.
love it.
You know, which inspires me every day. And the purple hat really is about putting your thinking hat on it and being on purpose. And I'm borrowing there from Edward de Bono, who created the six thinking hats, you know, but he didn't have a purple hat, you know, and his argument is, or was that he's still around. He's an old gentleman now, and the purple hat process is strong. Wow. And he argued that you could actually force a way of thinking by pretending to put a hat on. So if you put the black hat on, it's about critical thinking. Yep. You put the green hat on, it's about creative thinking. Put the white hat on, it's more optimistic. And he uses that methodology, and his team use that methodology to get people recognizing that you can think differently just by putting a frame on.
I love that. It's like getting in character.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like an actor getting into character. Boom, that's it.
And I think he initially used this work with Japanese car manufacturing companies back in the sort of 80s. Okay. Japan was famous for being very good at following orders. Yep. And, you know, very hierarchical society, but not very good at being individualistic. He proved that by just putting the green hat on and getting them to imagine they're putting a green hat on, he could turn people who are typically not very creative into creative thinkers.
Wow, look at that. Fantastic.
And my argument is that by donning the purple hat, we can instill purpose into our frame of thinking and make sure that we're starting to think about, well, why do I do what I do? And how do I actually translate that to what I'm doing? Perfect. Because once you're thinking about your why, you become much more authentic, much more engaging. And you know what? In today's world, particularly millennials, they're looking for you to explain the purpose of what you're doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't relevant 20 years ago, but now, boy, it's so relevant. They keep asking why. So why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why have you decided to build your factory where you did? You know, why are you employing these people? Why are you paying a pittance to your workers in Bangladesh?
That's right.
You know, these kind of questions are really calling to account businesses. Yep. So unless you've got your why sorted out, you'll potentially come undone.
And the
other great thing about why is that it's about self-motivation.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter whether you're running a small business. I work with micro businesses, but I've also worked with larger businesses with staff. If you're the leader of that business, you have some doubts and fears that creep in on a day-to-day basis, right? You've got a lot of pressure. How do I get the numbers? How do I get new clients? So reminding yourself of the higher purpose, the bigger picture behind that, your bigger why, is a really strong self-motivator. So it gets you fired up. And when you're fired up, people around you going, well, I don't know what you're smoking, but I want some of it. You know?
Exactly.
It really inspires your people to really go further. So there's a productivity element to it as well. Not just you as an individual, but the people you work with. Awesome. They kind of, you know, and it's very important that they attach their purpose to your purpose. If you've got a team, right, everyone's got their own reason for doing the work they do. And when you go to work for someone, you're kind of suspending that, but there has to be enough in it for you to go, I really want to work for that person. So by defining your why, you're already giving them a reason to give their all.
Gotcha.
Because there's a bigger reason beyond just making a profit so that you can pay them a salary.
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's a bigger picture behind this. We're doing this because we want to change people's lives.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter whether you're running a bakery or whether you're running a not-for-profit to resolve blindness in the third world. You know, if there's a bigger reason, people will get it and they'll try harder. And also from a customer perspective, the right customers are going to get you.
Gotcha.
It's a trust thing.
Yep. And you mentioned earlier, I love when you said your story, because everybody now, when you talk to marketers and branders, storytelling is the biggest thing. Everybody's talking about you have to have a story. But thinking out loud while I'm listening to you, your story doesn't necessarily give you your why, does it? It substantiates your why in a way. It's not your why. It's the story behind your why.
Yeah, I would argue unless you worked out your why, whose story are you telling?
That's true.
Because most of us will refer to other players in the market. We'll refer to our customers and we'll seek will seek inspiration from them to work out what we should be saying. Yes. Now, that's old-fashioned marketing.
Yeah.
And that's why in my book, I talk about marketing being dead.
Yes.
Traditional marketing, the one that I learned at university in the 80s, I did a marketing degree, and then was taught by some of the best people in, like I say, in FMCG. That was all about asking the customer what they want, doing some research, looking at what the competitors are doing, and then creating a brand that stood out.
Perfect.
New way of marketing, which I term purposing, is about working out why are you here?
Yeah.
What are you here to do in this world? What do you offer that's naturally unique, not invented?
Yeah. What do you stand for?
What do you stand for? What do you stand against? And quite often in those early stages of investigating your why, it's actually really important to push against something. So what do you stand against? Yeah, your competitors might be doing some things that are a bit dodgy. And you go, well, that's not me.
I like that.
And you can still ask your customers, but ultimately they can't answer the question, why am I here? They can tell you reflectively what you're doing right for them and how you're helping them.
Yeah.
But they don't know the secret behind why you're here. Only you can work that out. And I think a lot of businesses shy away from doing that because they think, oh, it's fluffy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not relevant. Well, it is. In the 21st century, people are looking for you to explain why you're here and why you're here to make a difference and what you stand for, and build that as the foundation for what you do. And you're talking about a transformation.
Definitely. And you really have to own that, because nowadays there's so much noise. There's so much competition.
Mm.
The attention span is very short. You have to know your why. You have to be able to articulate it and own it and get that message across very quickly, or people have lost attention for you.
Well, that's right. And I think one of the areas where people fall down, if they do get their why, they don't connect it to their customers' needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key. It's you know, it's not enough to say, well, I do this business because I believe in world peace.
Mm-hmm.
And what business is that? Well, we produce armaments. It's like, no, that's not going to work, right? Or even, you know, we bake bread and we believe in world peace. Where's the connection there between what you're doing in the work that you're doing and how you're helping your customers? So you've really got to connect the three.
Yeah.
Who are we as a brand, as an organization? What do we believe in? What are we here to do for people in terms of the big problem we solve for them? And how do we deliver it? You have to do those three. So why in isolation isn't enough? I know that's become quite popular. Simon Sinek, the poster boy of purpose, if you're familiar with, those of your audience who haven't heard his stuff, jump onto TED Talks. He's got a great one around his first book called Start With Why, which he launched now like 12 years ago.
Yep.
But it's sort of growing in popularity. You know, he talks about the power of why and how you can make a deeper connection with your audience when you talk about your why. But, you know, what you then have to do is then connect it to what you do for people and then how you're doing it.
Gotcha.
Because otherwise it's a vacuum. So you have to make that connection between why do I exist? Who am I here to help? How do I help you resolve a real problem? And you know, what are we doing in our business to actually do that? Perfect. You have to do the 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. And give us yours so the audience can hear your 1, 2, 3 and they understand exactly what you mean.
Well, my why is I believe that people should work on stuff that gives them joy.
Right.
I believe that people should be happy in the work that they do. They should be inspired. And the thing that kind of rankles me and what I hate seeing is when people are stuck in the wrong jobs.
Yeah.
And they say, I hate this.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the owner of a business who's lost their passion.
Yeah.
So my solution for that, or the problem I'm solving, is people being disconnected with the work that they do, with the businesses they run, with the brands they work on.
Yeah.
And I want to help them get their passion back. How do I do that? I help them actually find the why in their work, connect it to the real problem they solve, and therefore change what they do so it actually relates to who they are and why they're here.
Perfect. And
that's my 1, 2, 3.
That's amazing. And this is, do we call this the UPS, the unique positioning statement? Well, that's more just the old
USP. The old USP. Yes, that's the term. That's the term we used to use in marketing 32 years ago when I first started.
Shows how much I know.
Well, no, it's still used, but I think it's outdated.
Right.
Because if you break that down, unique selling proposition has a lot of faults in it.
Right.
Right, unique. Let's start with unique. Where are you getting that uniqueness? Well, typically it's referring to what everyone else is doing. And as I said earlier, there's a problem in that.
Yeah.
You know, because today people want to know, what's your skin in the game? Why are you doing this? Not just to be different, right?
That's right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, selling. Well, the word selling is laden with problems,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because, and of course, the best sales coaches in the world will tell you that selling is about understanding your customers' needs first and putting yourself in their shoes. But however we laden it up, we all have a bit of a problem with the term selling, because it sounds like we're trying to get someone to do something they don't want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Proposition. I'm proposing something. It's kind of rational, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's detached from the emotion.
Yes.
So my new terminology is authentic brand proposition.
I like it.
Right?
Authentic brand proposition.
Authenticity is what people are looking for. And if you're attracted to something that's authentic, the sell happens by itself.
Yep.
So we replace the word, you know, sell.
Yep.
Brand, because everyone has a brand, whether they like it or not. Yep. And brands connect people together. And your authentic brand story connects to a story about the reality and why you're here. And the promise is actually what you're delivering.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So your story is actually is outlined within the proposition. I'm getting my own terminology mixed up. It's worked into the promise to deliver. Okay. Gotcha. So the story becomes a promise. So you've got authentic brand
promise.
Yeah. And it's all about the promise to the customer, but the promise to the people that you're working with. There's also a promise to yourself. I've made a promise to myself to make a difference in the world.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love the way you said it's authentic versus unique, because unique can be anything, but authentic means it's authentic, it's unique, but it's authentic to you. It's very different than just being unique. Anybody can just say, I put a purple hat on and I'm unique. That doesn't mean that that's who I am. That's who you are.
Exactly. So authentic brand promise, it's coming from here, right? It's coming from the heart.
Yeah.
It's not coming from the head. So I think USP is where we used to be.
Yeah.
It was about people making emotional choices, but rationally driven by a price, rationally driven by, well, what else is out there? Now people are moving from up here down to here.
Perfect.
And then they're also down further down to their gut. You can't see me pointing to that.
Yep.
But people are making gut decisions. And it's frustrating a lot of people, because they go, well, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know, why did you, pick a topic at random.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Donald Trump to be president?
Yeah.
When rationally, Hillary Clinton would have been the right choice.
Yep.
Because people are over it. You know, they're over the established status quo, and they wanted to try something different.
Yeah. And why did you choose those colors in your logo? Even though they're not the nicest colors, they just resonate with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever reason.
So, you know, people have, advertisers have known about how people are buying emotionally and intuitively for a long time. But typically, I think where we've come from a situation where we're trying to sell something that's not true.
Yep.
You know, my example I use for my daughters is women's makeup.
Right.
Why is dad okay to go around the world without wearing makeup? Why does mum have to wear makeup? Who came up with that idea? Well, it was probably a bloke, right?
Yeah.
It was Mr. Revson from Revlon. Famously said, you know, in the factory we make cosmetics, in the stores we sell hope.
Love it.
Yeah? That's a famous quote. Look it up, right?
Brilliant.
Hope for what? I mean, geez, you know, why on earth is that a truth?
Yes.
Whereas the reality is that we're starting to fall away from that kind of view of the world where we buy into the problem that the advertisers tell us and the marketers tell us that we have. Because my industry, my traditional industry of marketing is responsible for this too, right?
Yeah.
And we used to, one of the things I was charged with doing when I was a young marketer was to go and badger the R&D department, the research and development department, to make more outrageous claims,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was actually sent packing as an assistant brand manager in my car to go to the research and development center where I met with this poor gray-haired guy in a white lab coat. And I had a list of claims that my boss said that we needed to push. God. It happens, right? It still happens, right? Wow. What could we say? What could we say? Well, yeah. The world's changed since then. And but we haven't caught up with it, right?
Yeah,
but we're catching up with it now. And that's why this question of why do you exist? Why does your brand exist is so important. Bring it back to the original topic.
Yes, absolutely.
Once you define your why, everything gets real.
Yep.
Right. And all of the confusion around claims I could make, problems I can invent, they just fall away and it becomes easy.
Yeah. Because it's authentic and it's
now it's much more authentic. It's coming from the heart, right? And people want to buy from there. So now we can sell from there.
Yep.
And when you're talking about why you do what you do, it actually makes a deeper connection in the brain and subconscious. So if you look at a very simplistic view of how the brain works, right? You've got your rational brain, your thinking brain. You've got your limbic brain, which is your beliefs and your feelings and your emotions. And you've got your reptilian center at the back,
yeah.
Which is all about flight or fight intuition,
yeah.
Right? I know instantly if this feels right or not. Yes, no.
Right.
Most of us, when we're constructing websites, we're constructing a rational argument.
Right.
Yeah? That's all about the experience we have. The amazing people we have working with us.
Yeah, we've done market research. This is what works, et cetera,
and case studies. Case studies, yeah. You've asked me for case. We'll talk about that in a sec. Yeah. Case studies.
Yeah.
So I worked for this company and it worked, and therefore it's going to work for you.
Yes.
Really? I'm a completely different set of situations. I think differently. My business is different. You know, and then you get these questions like, have you worked in this category before?
Yeah.
So people are trying to replicate stuff. The real world doesn't work like that.
I agree.
You know? Yeah. The reality is we're all different. As Monty Python would say, you're all individuals. You're all different. I'm not. You know. So therefore, it's going to work differently for different people, different categories, different brands.
Definitely. And you'll resonate with your audience, wherever they are, whoever they are.
Yeah.
And they're there.
That's right.
It's just you'll have your audience and other people will have their audience.
Yeah. So constructing a rational argument is not going to work in this day and age. Mm. So we're tending to overthink how we market ourselves. Mm. What we actually need to do is step back and really get a better understanding of what we stand for. Because when we communicate our why, guess what? It lands in the limbic.
Yeah.
So as we're sitting there and we're clicking across websites, there are a couple of questions going on, whether we like it or not. Our subconscious is processing two questions.
Perfect, yep.
Can I trust this person? And have they got something that will solve a real problem I have?
Gotcha.
That's actually what's going on inside our brains. The only way to answer those two questions is to explain why we do what we do, which, can I trust this person? There's a connection there.
Yep.
So you have to talk about what you believe in.
Yep.
Yeah, what you stand for.
Definitely.
And does this organization have something that will solve a real problem in my life?
Yep.
That's the reptilian center.
Gotcha.
And all of that's going on subconsciously. So unless you've got that within your marketing, within your selling, already communicated, you're really not going to connect with the right customers.
Perfect.
So explaining your why connects with like-minded people because they instantly know, can I trust this person? And are they going to help me?
Love it, love it.
And that all of that goes on behind your rational brain.
Yeah.
As an automatic program.
It's all automatic.
It's the subconscious. That's what's happening in your subconscious. Gotcha. So once we understand how people actually buy, and we understand that we've moved from a world where image for brand was paramount to authenticity being paramount.
Definitely.
Once you get that frame, now you're selling and marketing in a quite a different way.
Perfect. And I'd love to ask you this question now, because I love, you know, that sounds fascinating, but how do you actually work with people to allow them to come up with that why and access that subconscious part of them? That's the tricky part.
Well, I'm glad you asked that This wasn't a planted question at all. Look, as I said to you and the audience that doesn't necessarily know this, I did some research into this. For years, I would ask rational questions of my customers to get to their why.
Right.
So I've been running a marketing consultancy now for 16 years. Wow. And prior to that, my real area of interest was developing brand stories. Wow. And I worked in the wine industry and I worked for the entertainment industry. That was always what I was interested in, the psychology of branding.
Yeah, me too.
Because I always knew that if you could tell the right story, people would connect.
Yep.
So I got really good at something that's called layering. Okay. Psychologists use this.
Layering.
And that is asking one question, then answering another question, which asks the same question slightly differently. Then you ask another question, which is asking the question slightly differently. And you keep going down and down and down. And you will start to uncover some good intel doing that, okay. during that process.
Interesting.
But there were two problems for me with this. Firstly, it didn't ever go deep enough. And secondly, the answers I was getting, I didn't really trust.
Right.
Because what I found doing a bit of research on how the human brain worked, this is back about 8 years ago when I launched my first course using the methodology I'm about to explain. I discovered that the rational brain can't process that question why. There's like a firewall that sits between the rational brain here and the subconscious.
Right.
So you ask that question, why, it goes, I does not compute. So what you do is you answer how you think the interviewer would like me to answer. You do this automatically without thinking.
Yeah.
Or how would my parents answer that question? Or how would a guru or a mentor that I work with, how would they answer the question? Because I don't know how to answer the question, right? So you're getting some intel, but I think it's flawed. What I essentially did was connect my interest in meditation with marketing. Because I'd already been studying meditation as an offline practice.
Yep.
And I knew that it could really get some answers from a deeper perspective. And I thought to myself, well, shit, why don't I just connect these two? Yeah. So that's how I do it now. I do short, what I call visualizations. They're not transcendental meditations that go on for 2 weeks or an hour, right? Because I was having this conversation with a deep meditator the other day, and they said, okay, well, it's useful, but it's not really deep, right? No, it's not. It's not designed to be.
Right.
But what I've discovered over the last 8 years doing with this exercise with something like 250 clients now,
wow,
across a range of categories from larger businesses to micro businesses, is that it gets people to answer questions within 15 minutes of listening to these recordings I do.
Wow.
They then answer from a deeper place. And so what we're actually doing is getting some of the truthful answers about why I do what I do. Why am I really unique? We're actually accessing this from a deeper place. And then we're able to construct that authentic brand promise from a position of strength, from a position of truth. And the other problem with the layering process is it takes too long.
Yeah.
You know, you could be working with someone over 4 or 5 sessions sometimes to really get some intel. So we can get answers quickly using this meditation technique.
Yeah.
And then we can reconstruct the story of who they really are, what they really stand for, why they do what they do, who they're here to help, and what they're doing for people, the problem they're actually solving. We're getting that from a deeper place.
And that's actually a really good point. I'll just jump in for a second. Say a company's reasonably mature and, you know, a story is reasonably mature in the marketplace, and they go and do this exercise with you, and they uncover that they actually want to come from a totally different place. What do they do then? They have to rebrand everything, or how do you react to that?
They have an opportunity to tell a story that's going to connect with the right kind of customers, and they can transition into it.
Right.
So I'm a big believer in not suddenly changing direction. If you're a big brand, and I've worked on brands that have turned over, you know, millions of dollars,
yep,
it's a super tanker, right? You don't suddenly stop the engines, sit dead in the water, and then start changing direction, because it's going to take ages for this super tanker to start powering up again and then moving around and moving off.
Yep.
You're going to lose all your business, right? So there you introduce new elements over time.
Gotcha.
If you're a micro business, you can change much quicker.
Right.
So the speed of change is dependent on the size of the business.
Makes sense.
So you're not going to destroy your business by suddenly changing. However, I would argue, even with bigger brands, the deeper internal thinking that this process allows you to do is going to give you some smarts that will really start to refine your target market,
right,
or your ideal customer. I don't use that term target market anymore because it's like putting a dot on someone's head. And say, you'll be a customer of mine, whether you like it or not. This is your ideal customer or ideal client who's coming to you because there's a fit, there's alignment.
Perfect.
You know, and an aligning is a key word for the success of businesses in the 21st century. Once you've got your purpose right, once you've got your why right, it's about aligning what you do and what you say with your audience and with your people. So it's all about alignment. So when if you talk about that larger business, they might be misfiring and it's about wastage, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, someone, I can't remember what he's the head of, head of some very large ICI, I think it was, said that, I spend a huge amount of money advertising, but I don't know what percentage is actually landing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I'm just chucking it out there.
Spray and pray.
Now, social media is going to help us identify what's connecting at a better level.
Yeah.
But what's your message in the first place? So this is about refining your message so that it lands better for your. Because if you think about social media targeting, is about lining up what people have said they're interested in, right, to what you're doing.
That's right.
But if what you're doing and how you're saying it is wrong,
it's never going to connect. It's
only 50% is going to, you know, so it's like 50% of my marketing is working, 50% is not. This was the quote I was thinking of, but I don't know which 50%. That was the famous quote,
I love
right?
it. I love it. Very
good. I think it was the head of ICI and spending billions, right?
Wow.
So what we're doing is effectively ensuring that out of that 100%, a much higher percentage of that spend is now connecting with the right people.
Perfect.
Because if you think about it, the old way of marketing was to say and spray, as you say, was built on, well, I think this is a good image. I'm positioned differently to everyone else. Off I go. And you could also, you could end up, and because you're really pushing it, you've got a good sales team that's pushing it, you got a lot of people coming on board that shouldn't necessarily be there. What happens to those people?
Yeah.
They become tire kickers, right? They're the ones that start complaining about stuff. They start going on social media and going, I don't know why people buy this product or service. It's hopeless. Right? and they can kill a brand.
Yeah. Right?
So rather than doing that, you're actually coming from a place of authenticity. And you're starting to attract a much, much higher number of people who get you, who get you. Let's think about that term.
Yep.
If you're actually attracting customers who get you, if you're attracting employees who get you, what happens? They believe in you.
That's right.
Right.
You get businesses and business and referrals in spades.
Yeah. And, you know, and we know from the stats that customers that buy from purpose-driven companies are much, much more likely to forgive them for a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Much higher. Yeah. And consequently, we're human, right?
Yeah.
To be human is to err. So we're going to make mistakes. But if you've been authentic with who you are, what you stand for as a brand, as an organization, you've attracted a tribe of people that get you, they believe in you, they're much more likely to say, look, you've said mea culpa. You know, you've put your hand up, you've apologized. You've explained what happened. You've also given us a remedy for how you're going to fix it.
Yep.
I'll stay with you. Yep. Sure, you're going to lose some people, but you're going to keep a whole load of people
right.
in that process.
Yep.
And you can see that happening, you know, through oil companies, for instance, banks, you know, making claims that they can't substantiate.
Yep.
I won't name the brand in the oil area, but they went on a massive campaign to talk about, you know, the environment, what they're doing for the environment. And lo and behold, massive oil spill. They destroy a whole ecosystem.
Wow.
It's not sustainable, you know? And banks claiming that they can do some wonderful thing for their customers, Royal Commission comes up. Oh, you've been doing some fairly underhanded things, right? So ultimately, I think large organizations really benefit from this purpose because it keeps them accountable.
Yep.
So internally, the staff actually have the right to say, hang on a sec, should we really be charging bank fees to people that are debt? Yep. Just using that as an example, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Rather than it kind of being put under the carpet and saying, well, no, this is all about profit. It's all about the future success of this organization. And we're just going to ignore that.
Yep.
There's plenty of profit in those organizations. It's okay to do the right thing.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen in those organizations. And purpose is really going to help them because what they're doing is they're losing really great people who work with them for a while and go, I can't sleep at night.
Yeah,
because I don't believe in this.
That's right.
And guess what? The people in positions of power, you know, the board, they're also suffering from this. They're human too. So once the top of the organization, someone comes in and says, actually, we're going to do the right thing. Everyone like breathes a sigh of relief, right? And yeah, there's going to be some initial revenue hits from making those changes. But geez, most of these organizations we're talking about in Australia are very profitable already.
Yeah, yeah.
Longer term, I would argue they're going to survive and thrive because, you know, let's take the banks as an example. They're under threat from these new level of lending institutions that are coming in. You know, at the moment, they're buying them off. But how long does that last?
Yeah.
You know, and with Bitcoin coming in and you know, cyber currency and all the rest of it, hey, guys, you've got to change your game. So let's do things on purpose.
Really? So, I mean, I'd love to hear a case study or two of how you've helped an individual or a client.
Ah, that dreaded term, case study.
With their why.
All right. Well, I worked recently with a property development company called Trinity Constructions.
Okay.
And they were looking to crack into a new area of the market for them.
Right.
Which is a residential apartment. They've done quite large buildings around New South Wales and Queensland in the past. And they wanted to create something to honor the memory of the owner's sister who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. And in conversation with them, they really wanted to do something a little bit more special. So we ended up going through this process of visualizing what the brand would stand for. Connected to what kind of person this lady was who passed away, and working out the ideal customer that would want to live there. It was tied to a location. We couldn't move the location. We can't put the apartment on wheels.
Yeah.
and so people can look it up. It's called The Vines Bexley.
Okay.
There's a website. They're starting to sell. They haven't finished the construction. They're like 5% through the construction, but they've already sold 15% of the apartments available, which is quite common for you know, off the plan sales. But what we've created is something that's really powerful because we created this unique persona for the brand built on who this person was, but also built on the owner of the business kind of really kind of visualizing where this brand could go. So we did a series of visualizations. The first one is called Animal Totem.
Animal totem.
So it's a metaphor for what the brand represents or the individual represents.
Yeah.
And from that gives us some cues about the kind of personality we want to create. And also gives us some ideas on the kind of name that we need to go down.
Right.
And the kind of colors. Okay. So we work with them with the designers on the brand to create this beautiful feel. So I came up with the name The Vines, which really epitomized what this lady loved and also the kind of freshness that we wanted to bring to the Bexley area, which is quite a sort of intensive building area. It's quite an old sub.
Yeah.
And they wanted to sort of bring some light and freshness. And that then also impacted on the architecture. So we had, the architecture was pretty much down a path, but I believe that the kind of conversation we had around the vines and the branding also influenced the kind of planting. So we've got a rooftop garden, and I was able to talk to the designer of the rooftop garden and say, we really need to have these vines, we need to have this, that, and the other.
Fantastic.
And so we're starting to get this feeling of a place where you can breathe,
yep.
A place to escape to. And it sort of brought the whole thing to life. Their previous developments had been very much about functional, This is what's required from a building perspective, and these are the latest, best opportunities and fixtures and fittings. Yeah. All of a sudden, this brand developed in a very different way for the company, because the brand was brought to a life from the inside out, from the beliefs and vision of the CEO, and also what we knew about her sister and what she loved in life. And then kind of the brand started taking off. It almost took developed a life for itself. Wow. And that then connected with the ideal customer. We do a visualization exercise where we imagine the ideal customer waking up in their apartment and doing the rest of it. And that then led to how we developed the brand video, which I then scripted and worked with a videographer and actually acted as sort of art director on the day. And we had a talent person come in, and I really wanted to have that from a first person perspective. And initially the organization said, oh no, that's a bit too far for us. It's a bit too out there. But they put it out to some of their potential investors and they loved the idea.
Great.
So we actually had, a member of the family, it's a family owned business, come in and act as the person who's waking up and visualizing her day. And then we took the camera through the streets of Bexley to the parks, to the outdoor areas, to the local shops and stuff.
I feel like I want to move there now because it's connecting with me subconsciously. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's such a great image and it stirs up the right emotions.
Yeah. Now, look, any agency worth their salt could do a similar thing. But the fact of the matter was, this was coming from a different space, right? It was coming from a subconscious space that really honored who that person was, who the business or the brand was designed to honor. And then it was also then came out to the society and the people in the area and what they want. And, you know, we went and filmed in some cafes to help put the video together, also to do some montage for the website. And, you know, we talked to people about the thing we were creating. They loved the idea. It's like, yeah, it's a breath of fresh air in an area. And we're starting to see some really kind of funky cafes starting up. So this apartment development is really, you know, it's really going to add to that and really add to the area.
Fantastic. And I mean, I just love that. Just the name already speaks to me, the Vines. Fantastic. Love it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And it just goes to show you that when you do this initially properly, it drives all the rest of your strategy in your campaign, even to the execution of your promotion and your video and everything, because the message is congruent with your initial why.
Yeah. And the why for the Vines in Bexley is to provide a breath of fresh air for people living in the suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, but then everything has to align. That's why I say conversations with the designer, the landscape designer. Look, a lot of that stuff was well down the road, but then they were looking at tweaking stuff and maybe we could pull this back. And I was going, no, you can't pull back because this is the promise we've made.
Yep.
It comes back to that authentic brand promise. This is the promise we've made to ourselves as an organization to develop something different. You know, part of their plan is to move themselves from a tier three developer to a tier two developer, right? But to do that, they have to have really good quality products.
Yep.
So they bought into that. They said, yeah, you're right. So the price to ourselves is we want to change as an organization. We want to actually develop developments with heart, right? That's number one.
Yep.
And the promise to the community was we're actually going to develop something that's different that people are going to, they've also got shops, right, that are going to go underneath the development, and what shops should those be? Lots of conversation around that. Okay. Lots of pushback from me in terms of some of the suggestions they said. I said, no, please, that's the wrong connection. You don't have to do that. You can do this.
Yep.
So, you know, in that sense, working with their marketing director, I was a sort of a brand ambassador to make sure that this stuff, you know, really flows through. Exactly. And that's the answer. How do you, after you've defined your why, what happens? Well, then you flow it through everything you say.
Yes.
Everything
you find your why, but then you have to maintain it.
Correct.
As soon as you go off script or off brand off why, everything falls apart.
Yeah. So that's an example of a, you probably don't have time for another one, but I've also done this with smaller organizations, individual businesses, and the light comes on in their eyes, and solopreneurs.
I love it.
That's, you know, I'll tell you a short story. I worked with an optometrist who'd lost his love of what he was doing.
Right, yeah.
And he kind of connected it back to, well, my dad was an optometrist before me, and I kind of fell into it. And when we explored his why and we did these exercises, one of the things we do is a visualization of as I say, meeting the ideal customer. They had a memory that came into his mind, which was someone who nearly lost their sight.
Wow.
And, you know, that person had gone on his recommendation, gone to the doctor. The doctor examined him and said, no, you're absolutely fine. They came back to the optometrist and he had said, no, I can see stuff. There is definitely an issue there.
Wow.
Went back for a second opinion. Yeah, if you don't get this sorted out, you're going to go blind.
Oh, boy.
So that why to save people's sight was so powerful for him that it reinvigorated his passion for his business. He went back in with a much, much higher level of commitment.
Brilliant.
And it just fired him up, and that flowed through to the way he did his business. So all of us have a fundamental why. In the case of the optometrist, he was thinking about the things he'd, eye tests. I'm doing this. I'm fixing prescriptions. Dragging his heels into work on a Monday morning.
He just lost his connection with his own why.
Lost
his mojo. And so in other words, you might not even need to facilitate rebranding or re-messaging at all. You just help people reconnect with why they started something in the first place.
That's right.
They might have lost it after so many
years.
Fantastic. I love it.
So look, there's lots of wonderful examples. I worked recently with a small business called Testing Times. They do, quality assurance testing for, sort of tech products and launches.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to move from being seen as a quality only into a much bigger, will help you develop your product from inception all the way through to delivery. So much more of a managed services.
Yeah.
And they were looking for a new name. And so one of the design companies I work with came to me because they knew about my approach. Again, very different approach, quite challenging for the owners of the business because there were two of them.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing, when they did their animal totems, one of them came out as a lion, the other one came out as a tiger.
Wow.
So that completely spontaneously, they both had a similar kind of feel for the kind of people they were and how they work, even though on the surface, two very different people.
Yeah.
One of them who's been in the industry for 25 years, kind of like an ambassador, really has driven the industry. And the other one, much more of a commercial mind, younger person, both women.
Right.
And immediately one of the impacts was it unified them.
Incredible.
Because in some ways they had slightly different ideas about how to develop the business.
Yeah.
It unified their approach. And it meant that when we actually came up with the name, which was Panteras, because the tiger and the lion both come from the same panther family.
Yep.
It just spoke to them. It also spoke to their passion as female entrepreneurs to make a difference in a male-dominated environment use that sort of intuitive strength that comes with it.
Yep.
And there's a lot of feline strength that comes from that kind of concept.
Love it.
And it just gelled them. And some of the idea for the names they were thinking of previously were just too rational.
Yeah.
And so Pantera sort of embedded who they were within the business, also provides a very different name to a lot of different names out there. They wanted something short, one word.
Cool name, Panteras. That's cool.
Panteras. It's Panteras in the end.
Panteras, I love it.
Panteras. And AS is feminine, OS is masculine when you're looking at the Latin language. So already it was kind of working, and Panteros was taken in a different category. And it was almost heaven sent. Yeah. It's like, well, we can't use that. We'll go Panteras.
Fantastic.
That's feminine. So everything kind of, I think when you get your why, everything falls into place.
It just works. So
when you don't work on your why and it's all a rational thing, you're constantly fighting the different elements.
Beautiful.
And you're not unifying your effort. One of the exercises I do for teams of employees is called Align the Arrows,
right,
where you're looking at, well, what are we doing to deliver on our purpose, on our promise that we've all agreed now? We do an exercise to get them on board with that and get their input, because it's very important. It just doesn't come from senior management. So that's called Hearts and Minds. So when we've done that exercise, we then move on to Align the Arrows. And that is about really ensuring that everything they do is aligning. And so what are we doing that's off purpose, or what are we doing that's on purpose?
On purpose.
Yeah. If it's off purpose, we need to shift away from that.
Love it.
If it's on purpose. It's all
very metaphysical. This is very spiritual and metaphysical in its ethos, really, which is what I love.
Well, it is. I mean, it came from my desire to align people with what they're doing and get them, you know, back to my purpose, getting people to love what they do.
Yeah.
And there's so much business research to support that. It was a great book called Love Marks, launched in 2001. I think you're familiar with that book, aren't you? You heard that one?
No,
okay. Well, Love Marks was essentially about if people love brands, they'll pay more for it.
Oh,
if they love brands, they'll stay with them longer.
Yep.
And out of that was spawned a wonderful book called Firms of Endearment, around about 2007. And that basically took the idea of if you love a brand to if you love a business, you'll want to work with it.
Ah, gotcha.
And, you know, all of these things, and what they ended up doing was measuring the performance of purpose-driven companies versus those that didn't have a clearly defined purpose or didn't articulate it.
Yep.
And what they found was those, and they measured them on the US stock market. They took a total value approach. So it was like shareholder value, revenue, profitability. So they did it scientifically. What they found was these businesses were outperforming the rest of the market by 300 or 400%.
Wow.
And these are companies like Harley Davidson, Patagonia, you know, companies that Whole Foods, which not here in Australia, but very big business in the US. These are businesses that, you know, CEOs had announced that they were going to take pay cuts in times of crises. That other companies said, oh, you guys, I'm going to fire you guys and I'm going to keep my pay packet. About myself, right?
Yep.
These are CEOs that would say, actually, no, rather than firing people, I'm going to drop my salary. I've already got a huge salary. Yep. I'll drop my salary and we'll weather this storm for a while and then we'll come back.
Very nice.
So what this is essentially, you say it's metaphysical, it's actually humanity.
Yep.
A friend of mine runs a business called Humanity in Business. And it's all about getting these ideas from companies like books like Firms of Endearment. Conscious Capitalism was a movement and a book that was spawned out of Firms of Endearment. These concepts, these measurements of performance, they've been around for 10 years, Darren. 10 years. But we haven't acted on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're starting to act on it.
Just starting to change the way we think.
We are shifting now because people are fed up with it. They're fed up with the kind of do or die, dog eat dog, I'm going to have my stash approach. Yeah. And they're saying, well, hang on a sec. There must be a better way of doing it. People are leaving corporate in droves. I'm a corporate ex-employee.
Yep.
I came out of corporate for the same reason a lot of other people do. Yep. My values did not align with the company's values ultimately. I saw a big incongruence between me and the company. And so many people see that too. That's why there are so many entrepreneurs starting up small business. That's why small business is such a huge employer now.
Definitely.
In Australia and in the US and the UK, all around the world, right? But here's the kicker. If you come out of corporate and you start your own business and you don't work out your why, you will take all of that baggage.
Yep.
And instead of blaming your boss, who are you going to blame now? Yourself.
Yep.
And you're really going to go down into a hole. I see a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
But when you make a clean break and you say, why am I doing this for myself to start my own business?
Yep.
What's important to me? What do I stand for? What do I stand against? And you go deeper and you make that connection with who you're serving. Here's a different, again, back to that spiritual concept.
Definitely.
Doing service. And you look at the most successful CEOs in the world, the Richard Bransons, et cetera, et cetera. They understand this concept of doing service. By the way, these top CEOs are all meditating every day.
Right.
You look it up.
Wow.
Successful, super overperforming people are meditating.
Wow.
Because they know it's really important to get to that information that's, you know,
yeah,
trapped in the subconscious.
It keeps them aligned.
Yep. So going into a small business, whether you run a small business where you're thinking about launching it, so important to get that why locked in and making that connection with why you're doing it, what you're here to do, how you're doing service for people in there. Because out of that comes your natural uniqueness,
yep,
not your USP.
Yep.
but your promise.
Yep.
And it, and the idea of how you'll make a difference and do things differently will come out of that. Not by looking at what everyone else is doing, but from who you are and who the people are that you're working with and what you stand for.
Beautiful.
That is sustainable.
Beautiful.
An authentic brand promise is sustainable. A USP isn't.
I think that's a fantastic way to sum that up, because you've come full circle.
And how did that happen?
Very, very good. But if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that? What's the best way?
Look, my website is brandpurpose.co.
Yep.
And there's a link there. They can also look up brandpurpose.co on Facebook.
Great.
And they can find me on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn handle is Justin JG Cooper.
Right.
Justin Cooper was taken. I didn't want to be Justin Cooper 123. So I've used my middle names. So it's Justin JG Cooper.
Beautiful.
They can connect with me and talk to me. Love to hear their story and love to help unlock their why.
Fantastic. And I'll put all those links in the show notes as well. But I always ask everybody to kind of finish up with one or two quick little bits of advice for people. Anything that you can throw out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Stop and smell the roses. Mm-hmm. Right. This is really important right now. And I know that this period that we're going through with COVID is going to stop soon. So we want this video to be relevant next year and the year after.
Yep,
so it doesn't matter whether you're in a lockdown situation or whether you're thriving. What most of us do, and I've been a solopreneur for 16 years, I understand this. We wear lots of hats.
Yep.
Okay. And we feel a lot of pressure. So my advice is spend initially 30 minutes of your day. Stop, breathe, reflect. There are lots of breathing exercises you can do. In fact, I'll throw one up on my website today so that people can find that on the homepage.
Fantastic.
Breathing in and out may sound like an easy thing to do, but it's the out breath. If you talk to any meditator, it's the out breath that lets go.
Nice.
And then you breathe from a deeper space, which is basically from your belly.
Yep.
You do that, you disconnect from the maelstrom of all the things you have to do.
Yep.
And ask yourself, why? Just why am I doing this? Nice. What's important to me today? So that would be my first piece of advice. Beautiful. Stop, smell the roses, half an hour in your working day. Yeah.
Yep.
Ideally right at the start of your day, rather than jumping on and looking at your emails, listening to your voice messages, you've got them, keep the phone off, keep the laptop or the computer off, and just spend half an hour sitting and getting away from the maelstrom. Because the more you do this, the more you will connect in with that deeper space, the subconscious.
Yeah.
And that gets fantastic ideas.
Love it.
That's probably it. That's the one piece of advice.
I mean, that's
stop smelling roses.
Get up, reconnect with who you are and why.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a wheel alignment every morning to make sure that you're on the right track, and then you can continue to react and do your work with more purpose and with more meaning and with more success.
Yeah. And look, half an hour is not going to kill that deal that you had lined up, you know? And if you haven't got half an hour, spend 15 minutes to start with, but make it a regular practice, make it a daily practice.
Yeah.
And the thing I would say to people is, if you've never done this before, give it time.
Yeah.
Because it takes a while for this rational brain to switch off.
Yeah.
You know? The what do they call it? The monkey mind, meditators call it. It's like, oh, you need to do this. Oh, you need to do that. Yep. Shut up. Yeah. Give me some space, you know? And you can in your head say, be quiet.
Yep.
And one of the other piece of advice I'll give when you're doing that, three words to have a mantra going through your head.
Okay.
Just let go.
Yep.
Just let go. Just let go. I'll say that. Let's see things three times. So land. And there's a power in the number three. And there's a power in those three words.
Absolutely.
Just let go. Have that as a mantra when you're doing your relaxation exercise, and you'll find by the end of the fifth day, it's much clearer.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, Justin, thank you so much. That was very, very fascinating and enlightening. And I certainly got a lot out of that.
So thank you, Darren. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share my purpose and my passion for connecting people to their real selves. Really appreciate it.
Anyone who's looking to either set up a company and set up their business and understand their why before they go out and start moving or working on the rest of the process, or if you might have been working for so many years and you just lost your way a little bit, Justin is a fantastic person to talk to because he can realign you with who you really are. I
think that's, or that's even if you're running teams and you want to get that coherence and that alignment happening.
Beautiful. Yep.
This is a great way of doing that.
Fantastic. So Justin, thanks again. And
Darren,
my pleasure. And I hope
that you,
the viewers and the audience, loads of value. And appreciate you being on the show. And we'll be back very, very soon for another episode.
Awesome. Keep it purple.
Keep it purple. Bye for now.
Bye for now.